We're going to be in Romans chapter 12 again. And you'll notice as you came in, today I gave you a sermon outline. And I did this because I think today is going to be a very important day to think well and also to evaluate what God is saying to you specifically. So even if it's your first time here, I would love for you to take one of these if you brought a pen. There's places I'm going to ask you to say, hey, what do you think your answer is? And so I want to encourage you online. This is in the link. And so you can follow along with us as well. As you see on this outline, we're going to talk about the next step in renewing our mind and transforming our society. Because we all care about that and feel the pain and the chaos and the darkness that's surrounding us. As I said in the outline, God desires to heal and deliver the world from chaos and darkness. And in Romans 12, chapters 12 and 13, Paul is actually laying out God's path in order to transform society, but it's just very opposite the way the world thinks. Now, because we're American Christians, we tend to think very individualistic. So we read the book of Romans, and we tend to think it's all about my personal relationship with Jesus. But that was not Paul's mindset, and that's not what Paul was trying to communicate. He wasn't just declaring the gospel and the grace of God for my personal life. Romans is a book about how God wants to transform communities and entire nation even. We've got to remember, if you're studying the book of Romans with us right now, and you can get next week's guide in the foyer or online, he's always talking to what two groups of people? Jews and Gentiles. Who were those people in Roman Empire? Those were people who hated each other, who were political opponents of each other, who had a long history of bitterness and evil towards each other. And yet here Paul is saying the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just going to transform you personally, it's going to bring you together and you're going to create a transformed community and society because of that. So that's how important this is. I'm going to invite you to stand for the reading of the word. I'm going to invite you to read with me outline as a way of reverence and worship. Some people read the handout, but you got to wait for me to click over to the next slide, else you'll be out of sync. So let's remember this is the word of God and it deserves our worship of God as we read it. So let's, with that heart, read together. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Lord Jesus, we stand recognizing that your word and your presence should have all of us at full attention. We love you, and we ask now that your Holy Spirit would help us to understand how to bring your transformation and peace to our personal lives, our families, our community, and our entire nation. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. To represent what God wants to speak to us today about how to transform our society, I think this part of my story is most applicable. In the joy of getting older, I have discovered that exercise is no longer about getting stronger or faster. Exercise is about not breaking down and being totally disabled. Got it? Right? Like, exercise is just something you got to do, all right, if you want to stay healthy. And so a number of years ago, I decided to pick up running. I had always been in a lot of team sports and ran a ton, but I never run just to run. But I decided it's time to start doing that. Well, when I started to run, pretty soon, I developed a pain in my hip and my knee. And I was like, man, what is going on? So I went to my physical therapist, and he looked at me, and I said, you know, how can you fix my hip, my knee? He said, Sean, the source of your pain, the place of your pain is not the source of your problem. Sean, what's actually going on is the reason why you're having pain in your hip and your knee is because the arch of your foot needs an orthotic to it. It needs to be addressed. So you're experiencing pain up here, but your problem's down there. The place of your pain is not the source of your problem. And if you want to the pain to go away, and if you want to heal, I've got to work on something other than the place of your pain. And thankfully or not, now I run a lot. You know, just my favorite part of the run is when I'm done. But it's still part of what I do, and I don't have any pain. Well, Paul in Romans 12 is talking about all these things that need to be addressed. And in Romans 13, he finally gets to the government. The government is a place of great pain for all of us. We see the pain of our society there. But may I suggest to you this morning that the place of the pain of America is not the source of the problem. You see, what my physical therapist said is, Sean, this dynamic is called referred pain. It's the ability of any organ or muscle group in your body to take what's wrong with it and transfer the pain someplace else. Every organ in your body has the ability to do that, to have referred pain. Well, according to what Paul says, the source, the reason our pain is in government society is referred pain. It's not actually the source of our problem. Paul actually suggests that the answer is very different from the world, and it's your first blank in your outline. Let me get to that. That true transformation in our society doesn't happen by first addressing government and all of the social issues on a social change level. It actually comes inside out. True transformation happens inside out. And if you're following the order of Romans 12, there's actually a number of things to address before you get to government. We've been studying them over the last few Sundays. Transformation first begins. Do we want our society to be healed and get out of darkness and have peace? Yeah. What's the first thing we should do? Address our hearts towards God. Because Romans 12, verse 1, says that the first thing we've got to do is get our worship right with God. That if we don't worship him, and the way to think about worship is it's not music. Worship is I give God my first. He's the first thing I think about. He's the first thing my heart runs to. He's the first thing my mind wants to talk about. That's worship. And after our hearts, the next place to address is our own minds, because we've got to stop thinking about ourselves more highly than we ought. Last week, we focused on the fact that we are not the answer, and we do not have the answer. We are the created one. The creator is the one we need to worship and look for an answer. God creates things that are eternal. There is nothing man creates that's eternal. Everything you and I create is temporary. And so if we want justice that will last, if we want equality that will last, if we want accountability that will last, it needs to come from God and not us. We need to take and listen to his voice and then obey his ways. You can say amen to that. because that's really true. Okay, but once we address that, guess where Paul goes next? He doesn't get to government for like 3 more units. The next place he says is our devotion to our church. And that's where these one another's come in. That's why he's saying be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Verse 9, love must be sincere. Yeah, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, but it's about loving each other. Now, this is foolishness to the world around us, right? Because the world actually struggles to determine whether church is even essential. And yet Jesus said that it was the people of God who are the salt of the earth. They preserve what is right. They are the light of the world that can dispel darkness. Jesus in Matthew 16 says that only the church, upon the confession of Jesus as the King of the universe, has the ability to get past the gates of hell and rescue souls and defeat the works of the enemy. It's the church that's the source of the problem. For the pain our nation is feeling. Oh, Pastor Sean, I didn't know you were going there. I'm not going there. God's going there. Because the Bible says judgment begins in the house of the Lord. Why does judgment begin in the house of the Lord? Because the house of the Lord is where the answer is for a society that's struggling in chaos. And when we don't get it right in here, it doesn't get right out there. And when we, as the ambassadors of reconciliation that we're supposed to be, when we, who's supposed to be the priesthood of all believers to connect God and man, when we don't do our job, and when we don't love one another, and be devoted to one another and honor one another above ourselves, when we don't do that, there's no salt and no light. In places like our government, in places like our cities and in our schools and our society, the pain we're feeling is not the place of the problem. It's here. It's me and you. That's right, Pastor Sean. Those other churches. No, no, no. Not another church. Our church. Us. We're the place of the problem. We've got to learn to be more devoted to one another and honor one another in such a way that the whole world starts going, oh, maybe we could do that. Maybe that's the answer. You see, one of the challenges of Romans chapter 12 is, by and large, the American church has thought, that's right, let's not be conformed to the world. Let's give them a different answer. Now, that's not wrong, but the problem is we're processing and getting to a different answer the same way the world is thinking. Let me give you an example. In the world, it believes that it says, to love me, you have to agree with me. That's how the world thinks about love. If you're going to love me, you've got to agree with me. Well, the Bible says that God loved so loved the world, he gave his only son and didn't agree with us at all. God loves you and I a ton. He does not agree with us. Does that mean he doesn't love us? He sure does love us. But what you and I have done in church is we have based our love and devotion to one another on agreeing with one another. And we're just like the world. And I think what's going on in our society right now is a giant spanking for the American church. Because up to this point, we have not dealt with what we disagree about. How have we loved each other? How have we formed churches? Based on who agrees with me. And if we don't agree with each other, how do we love each other? We don't talk about it. Because in the end, we don't know how to love each other and disagree with each other. And we're just like the world. The world said, Jesus said what? He said, if you love the people who love you, what's that? Everybody does that. You see, we're offering the world a different answer, but we're acting just like the world. What's the world seeing in our social media? All of a sudden, Christians hate each other. They condemn each other. Why? Because we don't agree with each other. And what are we doing? We're acting just like the world. And so the world looks at the church and says, no answers there. No answers there. They're just like everybody else. And so I think this is a time for the church to grow up, right? For you and I. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about us. It's our time to grow up and to begin to understand how we can love each other and not agree with each other. That's not the basis of love. Oh, yeah, well, I can't believe they support that. I'm gone. We're not devoted to each other anymore because we disagree. Now, is it painful? Is it hard? It's pretty tough, yeah. But what has happened? We have not loved the way Jesus loves us. And we have learned the best shot we've got at unity with diversity is let's not talk about the things we don't agree about. That's our best shot. And what's the result? We're not salt and light, so we don't talk to the world because we don't talk to each other. So the world comes up with its own answers. And welcome to the mess. The place of the pain is not the source of the problem. It's me and you. And what has God done? He's made a society now. He's let a society find its own answers because we've not done our job. And now society does not give us a choice whether we're going to talk about hard things anymore. And what are we discovering? We are not prepared. Not ready for that test. And so what we've got to learn to do is come back and rediscover the gospel and say, wait a minute, we're not like the world. We don't love each other because we agree. We've got to agree on Jesus Christ. We've got one king. We've got one scripture. We've got one word. Man, there's some things I can't understand how someone doesn't see the scripture the same way. Hey, there's lots of conversations to come. But if we think we're going to love each other when we agree with each other, man, we are like, we've got no answer for the world. And I think it's why our society is where it is. So I think we've got to accept the spanking and say, okay, Lord, help us grow. Now, in the end, it's like, okay, so Pastor Sean, I have no clue how to love someone who I don't agree with. Especially when I feel like, oh my world, the way they think is gonna be so awful. No, that's not what God wants. And well, Paul actually outlines how to do it. That's what verses 3-8 are all about. They are about this is how you love someone or devoted someone in the kingdom of God instead of the world's way. So what does he say? He says, with the measure of faith you've got, find your spot in the body. By the way, nobody needs like 10,000 noses. So hopefully you're different. And you're going to be different, but you're different for a purpose. And in that purpose, you need to start using your spiritual gifts. Because we're trying to love each other by reason, by our position, and by our natural abilities. And it's not working. We've got to start loving each other by faith, finding our place, and then using our gifts. How are you going to live out Christ's love for someone who doesn't agree with you? How are you going to live out Christ's love and be devoted to someone who doesn't agree with you? By faith, find your place in the body, and then use your spiritual gifts. And if you would use your spiritual gifts instead of your natural abilities, you and I could actually love people we don't agree with. But when we try to love people we disagree with our natural abilities, we're just like the world. So let's talk about spiritual gifts. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a teaching on this, so let's just keep it simple. A spiritual gift is a special ability given to you by God to love and serve another believer, another in church, in your small group, all right? So that the world will believe in Jesus. Jesus said, the whole world's going to know who you are. How? By the way you love one another. So what does Jesus want to do? He wants to give you supernatural ability to love and be devoted to people who don't agree with you. But we're trying to use our natural abilities instead of our spiritual gifts, and we're flunking out. So this is what we're going to talk about. And as we go over these seven, simple definition, not going to take a long time, what I want you to do is this. Which two spiritual gifts do you think best represent what God's doing in you? And then I'm going to tell you why it's so important in order to create unity out of real diversity. Here we go. So let's go. And what I'd like you to do is you're going to see, if you look at your handout right now, you're going to see under the name of the spiritual gift, yes, no, maybe. I'm inviting every one of you, pick this up, open it up there, and as write out the definition. And then, really, is this one mine or not? And I would encourage every one of you to do this, online as well today. Here we go. Prophecy. Prophesying, a special ability given to speak the truth with God's insight, relevance, and power. Prophecy. All right? Hopefully that's happening right now. But preaching is not the only place you do it. A matter of fact, this is really important when you're counseling your friend who's talking about they're going through a hard time. This is what I pray for, and many of our public servants who are Christians, I'm praying for this when I'm in the middle of government officials and my community and my public schools. I'm praying, Lord, give me the gift of prophecy. Give me the ability to speak your truth in a way that are people like, yeah, that's a great idea. Oh, yeah, no, totally. Oh, is that why that's happening? Oh, wow, that makes total sense to me. This is an important gift. When your friend's calling you up and they don't know what to do with their life, this one's needed. The Holy Spirit can use this. The Holy Spirit can do this in any one of us. Is this one that you are kind of naturally, like God's kind of like, this is one you use all the time. This is very consistent in your life. Yes, no, maybe so. Now look, these gifts are in our body. And the only way we're going to become the diverse, powerful witness of Jesus Christ is by all of you who have this gift. You've got to learn to cultivate this. Side note, keep growing. We address everybody's spiritual gifts so you understand them as you come into the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, they're doing it this week if you want to join this week. So that's prophecy. Number two, serving. This is our get her done group, all right? This is like, I could just get it done, all right? And it's so important because, praise the Lord, God said all these great things. Well, if you can't do anything, how's the world going to know, right? So these people just have the ability to get it done. Just like, you know, everybody else is like, I don't know. And they're like, boom, let's go, all right? Praise the Lord, everybody online who's serving our security, our kids' ministry, ushers, the way in your small group, I'll bring the food. I've got a way to do that. I'll call everybody. Gift of serving, really, really important. Number three, teaching, a special ability given to help others grow in God's character, skill, and knowledge. Got a bunch of teachers in the room, you know, just you're amazing what you do. This gift's probably operating in you. And it's like, God, give me a supernatural ability to help people see your character grow in your skill and your knowledge. John Stott, one of the theologians of these past times, has said this is probably the number one gift most urgently needed in the body of Christ globally. Hundreds of thousands of people coming to Christ all the time. Where's the gift of teaching to grow them and help them become all God wants them to be? This gift is in a lot of you right now, online here. The Lord needs you to start cultivating and learn how to use it. Number four. There we go. Encouraging, a special ability given to bring strength and comfort to others. I love this one. All right, now, it's interesting. People who have this gift, at least sometimes, it seems to me they tend to undervalue who they are. Oh, I don't preach, or I don't do that. And I'm like, oh, my word, this is such an important spiritual gift. The word Paul uses for encouragement is parakalon, and it's the same word that Jesus used to root word to describe the Holy Spirit, paraclete. This is a big time Holy Spirit power gift. It's to encourage others, to strengthen them. And I don't know if you checked, we need a whole bunch of this these days, right? One person said it this way: when you have the ministry of encouragement, you keep other people in ministry. Like, amen, praise the Lord to that one. But if you have this gift, you tend to be like, oh, I wish I could be like that. Or I was like, no, your gift's great. We need it. Start living in it in a greater way. Number 5. See, someone just encouraged me. That was great. Thanks, Bob. You're awesome. Giving. All right. A special ability given to release what God has given to you to advance his work. This is the gift of giving. Now, when we bring our tithe to the Lord, that's just obedience. That's not a special gift. That's worshiping. That's number one. Like, let's worship God for he is first. So he gets the first of everything in my life, including my finances. That's just a joy and a declaration that he's always going to be good to me. But this gift of giving is when I release. It's really all his. So I'm not really giving it to God. I'm just releasing it. And I do it in such a way that helps advance the kingdom of God. That nonprofit, that missions work, that thing the church wants to do, that special expression to our public school or in our community. That's this gift. And I want to encourage you on this gift. What tends to hinder this gift is the sense of one day. Oh, one day, I'm totally going to give a lot. And what we tend to do is money really is just a closet, right? The bigger the closet, the more stuff you jam into it, right? And that's just what it is. And when we get more money, we tend to be, oh, once I get more money, I'm going to give more. But what happens? We get more money and we start living among people who have that much money, and then we see all the things they have, and then we've got to buy all the things they've got because now we're in their level. And so we end up not having any extra money. But when I get my next promotion, then I'm going to have all this and I'll have plenty. But when you get to that next part, guess what you do? Now you're worried about all the things that on that level that you could do with your money, just like all the people who are on that level. And in the end, you never have more money. You know, it's actually a statistical fact that people with more money give less than people with less money. Because there's this kind of like, oh, once I get more money, it's like, no, once you get more money, you're going to see more things that supposedly that's what to do with it. And so I'm not saying don't plan financially sound and things like that, but I'm just saying be careful of the lie. In Christian circles, it tends to go like this. Well, you know, we're kind of good, and then we realized if we saved or bought this for our kids too, that would help them even more. And without realizing, we start shifting our trust in our kids' future to all the extra things we can do with the extra money. And it really is tragic. So I just want to care. Important gift. That's how we did the Christmas offering. These gifts released to around the world. Number 6, leading. Now, this is not the same thing as bossy, right? All you people who love to tell other people what to do, sorry, this doesn't mean you have this spiritual gift. It just means you're bossy. All right, leading, the spiritual ability given to blaze a trail that others will follow. I'm seeing two incredible leaders in the room right now, and there's more of you here, but Margo, Reese, Liberia, it's like, there's no trail there, I'm just going to do it. That's the spiritual gift of leadership. Laura Burke, CRC, what do we do with all this need? There's no one there, the government's not there, we'll just be there. What are we going to do? We're going to blaze a trail, and then others are going to follow. So many of you like this. The church needs more of you. And then our job is to release that gift together. And then number 7, showing mercy. A special ability given to help those who are powerless. Oh, your heart gravitates to them. Man, you want the church to do the right thing and be the right thing. I mean, Dr. King obviously had the gift of leadership. He blazed a trail, and he definitely was living in this one. I mean, wow. Which was interesting, not just to the socially oppressed, but he did this even for the powerful, which was amazing. So this is a gift. So now here's what I would like you to do right now, online and in person. I'd like you to circle which two you think are your gifts. Which two? And if someone's there and you're kind of you can't decide which one, you ask the person next to you and they help you out. Which two are your gifts? I want you to circle. This is going to be very important. Let me tell you why it's so important. I'll give you one more minute. Which two are your gifts, do you think? What is a cuál dos está tu regalos? Which two are your gifts? Is that totally not that great? Okay, I tried. Which two are your gifts? Now, here's why it's so important. If you're trying to love someone in the body of Christ who disagrees with you and you're not using these two spiritual gifts, you're going to fail. I want you to think about it. So it's super important. This is not like, oh, that's kind of like, that's such a cool extra thing. I'm like, no, this is actually right on the money. If you want to love someone who's politically different than you, socially different from you, and you don't use your spiritual gifts to love them, it's not going to go well. Now, what does that mean? All right. First of all, let's take a note that all seven of these gifts represent Jesus Christ. He is the great prophet, right? He is He is the one who has served us. He is our teacher. It's his spirit that he gives us, that encourages us. He's the one who gave himself for us on the cross. He's the head of the church, the firstborn, the eldest brother. He's the leader. He is the one, because of his mercy, we are saved. These are all Jesus moments. So if I want to begin to understand how to love people and be devoted to people who are very different than me, I need to focus my relationship not on agreement, but on Jesus. So the source of my relationship is not agreement. The source of my relationship is Jesus. And the giftings, the way he has given me supernatural ability to love someone, is the way I should love them. Now you think prophet. Well, prophet just goes over to us. Like, no, not the way Jesus did it. You know, teacher is like, well, I need to tell them what's right and wrong. Yeah, then teach like Jesus, who tended to ask a ton of questions so people could learn. Like, if you'll use your spiritual gift in the model of Jesus, you will love. I'm not saying tolerate. I'm saying you will love people. It's like, oh my gosh, how do we disagree on that? And then guess what's going to happen? We're going to come up with way better answers. And we're actually going to have something to offer the world. That's the beauty of God's word right there. So Paul finishes saying in verses 11, 13, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. Patient in affliction. I'm going to say that one more time. Be patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. 15 days of prayer is not the only time we pray. Share with God's people who are in need. Let me just highlight two responsibilities every believer has in the local church. Because this is the source of the problem. And we can also be the source of the answer, which is so exciting. All right? Here we go. What's the first responsibility? Keep up your spiritual fervor. You are responsible for your own spiritual health. Pastor Sean, I thought that was your job. Nope, it's your job. Paul says, keep up your spiritual fervor. Come on, this is your job. This is your job to spiritually be healthy. Why? Because you're part of a body. If my little pinky gets infected and I do not address it, what's going to happen to the rest of my body? It's going to get sick. But it's only a little part. Doesn't matter what part it is. It's part of a body. If you let spiritual infection in your life, called unforgiveness, called bitterness, called slander, if you let infection and you don't address the infection in your life, it's going to infect our church. Doesn't matter how small it seems, you're part of the body. You got to address it. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus teach us to pray? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What did Jesus say? If you're at the altar wanting to give a gift and you remember one of your brothers and sisters has something against you, stop your act of worship. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with that person. They might not want it. You've done your part. Now go back and worship. Don't let infection grow. Got to do it. Everyone in this room, everyone online, you're responsible for your spiritual health and I'm responsible for mine. Body's going to get infected if it doesn't happen. And then number two, to operate in coordination. Paul's like saying, use these gifts as a member of this body, right? Because this body needs to run. Where is it running? Past the gates of hell. How are we going to get there? We got to all operate together. You know, if you're working out or running, you ever have that moment, you're on the lazy boy and you realize, I'm supposed to run today. Ugh. What happens in that moment? Your whole body starts arguing with itself. Your heart's going, I don't want to pump that hard today. Your lungs are like, don't want to stretch that most today. Knees are like, I'm still sore from the last time we did that. And your feet are going, does anybody care what I go through when we do this? Welcome to the body. Because if the whole body doesn't get involved, it's not happening. So that's why it's so important. Everybody here, by faith, find your place in the small group. Not some of us, all of us. And use your spiritual gifts. Can you imagine a small group where people are using their faith in Jesus Christ and committed to be in their place? They found a small group, and now they're using their spiritual gifts? Are you suffering with addiction, with depression, with bitterness? Are you stuck on how to grow with God or finally feel like you connect? Get one of those groups. Done. Done. Because those spiritual gifts in those groups are going to change everything. Well, Pastor Sean, how long do we got to run? I mean, I was in a small group last semester. You know how long we're going to run? We're going to run all the way to the next verses of chapter 12, which talk about serving and loving in your attitude towards those who persecute you. We got to run all the way to them. And then when we run all the way to them, then chapter 13, now let's run to our government. Let's run all the way there too. But where does it start? My heart of worship, my mind of humility, my devotion to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Because when we take responsibility and operate in coordination, we can run a really, really long way. A matter of fact, Paul finishes up with this prayer before his personal remarks. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you, plural, you in the church, give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and with one mouth, with all of your body, you may glorify the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. And I don't think this praise is about people who already praise him. I don't think this is about Christians. I think this is about people yet to become a Christian. Because we're all sitting, not accepting. We're all finding our places of praise. He's like, if you would come together and you begin to run together, there'd be new people praising me. God's word is good, isn't it? It's so good. It's me and you. So we're just going to wrap up with a prayer of not that church or those people or that government or those politicians. We're going to finish up with a prayer about the person who's doing your breathing for you right now. So I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you to think about, as best as you know, I think these are two of my spiritual gifts. Okay? I think these are my two spiritual gifts. And now I'm going to ask you to do something hard. I'm going to ask you in prayer to think about how God has given you those gifts by his grace, is what it says in verse 6. And now I want you to think about the person that upsets you the most who's a fellow Christian who doesn't agree with you? I want you to think about the grace you've been given. You've got some supernatural ability. You've got God-given ability to love somebody and be devoted to them. And I'm going to ask you right now to pray and say, Lord, please help me. Help our church, help the relationships I have not to be the source of the problem. All right, would you bow your heads? Lord, everything in our flesh cries out, I can't do it. And that's where you say, I know you can't. I'm giving you a grace and an ability to be devoted to someone, to love them and to forgive them and to be patient in affliction, be faithful in prayer, be joyful in these places of tribulation. But God, I can't do it. Yeah, I know you can't do it. I can do it through you. Just thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that you've given us so much grace. We want the world to know you. We pray for our country. We pray for our government. We pray for our public schools. We pray for our neighborhood. We pray for our workplace. Oh, Lord, help me to love my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ the way you loved us, and bring an answer that this world doesn't know how to have. And I'm just going to ask right now, if, as you're praying, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can have all the good ideas in the world, but they're all temporary. Only God creates eternal things. And the first thing he wants to create in you is eternal life, a heart that will not be overwhelmed by this world, a heart that will not give into bitterness and unforgiveness. But it begins by saying, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my selfishness, my sin, doing it my way. I want to get my heart of worship right with you, and I want to think about myself the right way. I'm not the answer. If that's you, whether you've been to church a lot or little, and you just want to say, Lord, today, I want to give you my life. I want to surrender and worship you. I want to follow you, Jesus, and not myself and not what this world is saying. If that's you, would you just raise a hand high and strong right now? Make a decision. Don't just have a thought. Make a decision. Don't even worry about anybody else. What's God want from you today? I know the Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now. God, God's presence. Are you here today? You need to make that decision. If you're online today, you need to make that decision. Just say yes. Just whether you comment or tell another Christian you know. So Lord, God, we can't do this. We just are so bad at it. But we're asking for your forgiveness. We want to repent. We want to be transformed in the renewing of our minds. And we want to begin again in you. Let us be a church that we love each other not based on agreement, but on Jesus. I love that person because, Jesus, you love them. And help me be patient. Focus on Jesus more than anything else. Yes, yes, there are things we need to address. Yes. Lord, just help me to make sure I'm addressing the source of the problem before anything else, not just the pain. So we thank you, say thank you for showing us this today, helping us to understand. May we now be renewed in our mind and not look at fellow Christians the same way again. Please show us and work a miracle that we know we cannot do, but you can do. And may you be praised in this world like never before. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Hey, God's given us a gift today. He's given us a way forward. He hasn't given us a solution to all the pain in the world, but he's given us a place. He's given us a solution for what's in here. And I'm telling you, you are more important to the kingdom of God than you realize. You're more important to church. Whether it's time to get and keep growing so you can understand your spiritual gifts more and really take that first step of being devoted to one another. Definitely the small groups, just go online in that directory. Find where you belong. Find your place and then use your gifts. And may the Lord use you to touch many, many other people. Man, our world needs the Jesus in you. And you can do it. We're going to ask the ushers to dismiss from back. Remember, our study in Romans continues. The guides are out in the back or you can get online. God bless you as you go. Be 100% His and shine His light.